Good morning. It is so good to be in God's house, and it's so good to see all of these beautiful smiling faces here today. And if you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to the book of Joshua, the 24th chapter, verses 22 through 28. I'm going to be preaching on the witness this morning, and I'd like to ask you to stand if you're able. As I read from God's Word, Joshua 24, verses 22 through 28. So Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord for yourselves to serve Him." And they said, "We are witnesses." Now therefore, he said, "Put away the foreign gods which are among you, and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel." And the people said to Joshua, "The Lord our God we will serve, and His voice we will obey." So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and made for them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. Then Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, "Behold, this stone shall be a witness to us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord which he spoke to us. It shall therefore be a witness to you, lest you deny your God." So Joshua, let the people depart, each to his own inheritance. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word and the power of your word. And we pray that what we have read this morning, that God, your word will penetrate our hearts, that God, we will make the choice and the decision every day to live for you, to not stray from your commandments, but to live under your power and your authority, and that God, you will move upon our lives today, Heavenly Father. Change us, Father, and in the areas where we are weak, make us strong, because Lord, our dependence is upon you and nobody else. Father, direct our paths today. And Lord, as I preach this message, let every word come straight from you through your Holy Spirit. And we give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. It's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Well, I want to ask the question this morning, what is a witness? If you were charged with a crime that you did not commit, and you had to go to court, you would want a witness to testify on your behalf. Someone who could hold account for you, basically. The Webster's Dictionary says that a witness is one who has personal knowledge of something, something serving as evidence or proof. And in the message today, what I want to get across to you is that we can consider what the great stone was to the children of Israel. And first, it was a witness to their deliverance. The cost of it, and it was the blood of Christ, a change that took place in their life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." So Jesus made a change in our lives. Before you came to Christ, when you were lost in your sin, when you were not in fellowship with him, your life was lived in darkness. Basically, there is no hope. There was no future for us getting to heaven without Christ, we basically, you could say we were in a lonely state. We needed a Savior in our life. And God loved the world so much that He sent Jesus to die. And the moment that you and I got saved, do you realize that Jesus, He is our witness to our changed life? And why is that? Because the moment we ask Him to come into our heart and life and forgive us of our sin, Jesus has witnessed what our life used to be like. And then Jesus is our witness for the new life that we have found in Him. See, He knows the old you, and He also knows the new you, and the Lord wants us to remember to do away with the old man. We're not supposed to remember the things of our past, but we have become children of the living God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And there, I preach this Friday, there is no other way to get into heaven, and there is no other way that you can get your life changed until you come humbled before the throne of God and you pour out your heart and your sins before Him. You ask Him for forgiveness, and you ask Jesus to come into your heart and life and make the change that only He can make. There's not a single person in this world that can do for your life what Jesus can do. If He has made a change in us, then, and Him being our witness, then it is time that we as children of God, we start to live out the commitment that we have made to God. Now see, God never gives up on us. The Word says that God will never leave us and God will never forsake us. What does that mean? Now, I want to say this too. In the quiet times, when you don't feel God's presence, I want you to know this. God is very near to you, even in your darkest hour. Even in the deepest valley of your life, even on the mountaintop, whether you're journeying to the mountaintop or going through a valley, whatever it is, if you feel like you're in a wilderness or a desert or any place, God is with you because God made that promise. He will never leave you, never forsake you, and that means God will supply every need that you have in your life. The stone, it was a witness to their commitment to live righteously. How many of us have made that commitment? And I want to ask, I don't want anybody's hands to go up, but how many of us today are living a righteous life? And what I mean by a righteous life, I don't mean perfect. You and I will never be perfect. As long as we are in this flesh, we are going to mess up. Okay? It's just life. But we must be committed to live a righteous life. If Christ committed Himself to us on the cross, if He became a servant for us and died and rose again and created a place for us in heaven to live for all of eternity, then we must be committed to Him to live a righteous life, which means daily when you get out of your bed and to start your day, that you crucify the flesh to the cross. You must die to yourself daily, and you must make yourself last and make Christ first in everything. When we exalt the Lord God Almighty, when we praise Him, when we read His Word, when we pray, and when we try our hardest and our best to live for Him, we obey His commandments and we love others, we are living a righteous life. We are doing what we can to grow day by day. One thing that the Israelites did that Joshua told them was to put away their strange gods. The people were worshiping idols. Now, I want you to know that today there are people who worship different things. Money, what their possessions are. And you may not, I don't know how many of you realize it, but in the Catholic Church, there's some, and it's in my family with some Catholics. They pray to statues. That's how they were trained in religion. They pray what they say to the Virgin Mary. That's what they do. That's what they believe in. And I've told people before, in love, I've told them, you can't pray to a statue because it's not going to do anything. You could pray to a chair. You could pray to a basket of artificial flowers. You could make any false image and you could worship it and it's not going to do anything for you. There is only one that we should worship. God has said that we shall have no other gods before Him. That means you and I should not be worshiping anything in our lives. Whatever you dedicate your time to, whatever you spend most time with is what you worship and serve. Do you realize that? I knew a guy that he went and bought a new car, and every week, or literally every day of every week, he'd have that thing out in the driveway and he would wash it, he would wax it, he would vacuum it out. That guy had to have the cleanest car in the world. And then he would drive that car all around town, go show everybody his new car. And before long, he took it to church, showed everybody at church how proud he was of it, and then he'd go home and he'd wipe it off with dry cloth to make it shine again, get the vet. I mean, this was a ritual. And then that car became such a possession to him that before long, he wasn't even going to church. His church attendance got less and less, and he spent more time with the car, and then he started to feel more emptiness. See, if we would fill our days with Christ, and if we would spend more time with Him, then we would have a desire to fellowship with Him more. And the more fellowship that we have with God, the closer we are to Him, and the more that He will feed us spiritually. Now, physical food takes care of our physical strength. I was pretty famished at lunchtime on Friday, and when I finally got me a plate of food and sat down and ate some and had something to drink, man, I felt pretty good within about 10 minutes. But if I go any certain amount of time without my spiritual food, and if I start to get weak, then I realize that I am starting to affect my relationship with the Lord. And I have to be careful not to get out of that with Jesus. From day to day, we should be wearing out a place on our floor where our knees hit daily and where we spend time seeking God, where we spend time fervently praying and pouring our hearts out before the Lord, and then waiting for God to pour out upon us exactly the things that we need. But our commitment today as Christian people is to serve God with all of our hearts and our lives. And we are to obey God. Now, God's going to tell us things from time to time to do things that we don't agree with. And there's times that we're going to try to butt heads with Him. Guess who's done that? Right here. And guess who still continues to try to butt heads with God? You would think after 37 years as a Christian and being in ministry that I would learn to quit butting heads with God. But sometimes when I think my way is going to work, I say, but Lord, this is how I'd like to have it. And the Lord says, that's not how I want it. The Lord just wants us to be submissive and to give our hearts to Him and humbly obey. You know what? When we do that, friends, life is so much easier and things are so much sweeter. But when I create my head button problems like I do, boy, does he ever drag me through some thorn bushes. How many of you have ever seen a thorn tree and ever been in the middle of it? If he has, Laura? Yeah. I tell you what, we lived out on some property. We had some thorn trees. And this is what Janine said to me one day. We need to go in there and clear that out. Well, I never had really been around thorn trees in my life. And we get out there, and those thorn trees, them things had thorns on them about that long. And she says, well, go ahead and go on in there and start clearing that out. I said, you're crazy. I said, have you seen them thorns and how many of them there are? Well, I didn't like the feeling of going through that thorn mess, but I did get some of it cut out and cleared. Well, why I'm saying that, because if I didn't like that situation, then I sure don't want to go against God and have God let me go through some rough stuff to show me and to teach me what he's trying to make me understand. And lastly, it was a witness to God's word. God's word is true. God's word is 100% from him. God cannot lie. God will never lie. God is love. God is light. And in God, there is no darkness at all. God loves you and I so much. He has given us the best of everything. And if we stick to God's word, well, let me read 2 Timothy 3:16 real quick. It says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Basically, it is our handbook. It is our guide to get through life. How many of you have ever been going through something in life and you've been praying and you've been asking God to reveal something to you, and then all of a sudden you sat down, started reading your Bible, and you started getting an answer? Anybody ever had that happen? It's happened to me a lot. And there's been times I've read the Word and maybe I didn't understand something, and I would pray, Father, what I'm about to read, I pray that you will give me wisdom, knowledge, and understanding so that I can comprehend what you're trying to say to me. Let my spirit perceive it, because I want to grow in you, Lord. And God will always, at the right time, he doesn't maybe answer me right then and there, but at the very right time, he brings the answer that I'm looking for. The Bible, someone said to me, it's called the Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. I said, boy, I like that. I like that. Basic instructions before leaving earth. And every bit of this came from God himself. And God's word is so powerful, and it's everlasting. God's word will never, ever go away. It will never be destroyed. I think it was either last year or 2023, there was a tornado went through. Many of you may remember Mayfield, Kentucky getting hit. I think it was 2023. Got ravaged by a tornado. And I remember watching on the news, this tornado went right through a church. And I mean, it decimated that church. That church was blown apart. And one thing that the cameraman did, they focused on the Lord's Supper table of that church, and there was a Bible open, and this was the words of somebody from that church, that where the Bible had been open to, even though the tornado went through there, it never changed the pages. And the Bible was untouched. That is how powerful God's Word is. And His Word is so life-changing, You could be the meanest of the meanest people, or you could be the nicest of the nicest people. But when you were lost and you trusted in Him and got saved and started reading His Word will change your life forever. His Word is what gives us life, and it gives us the meaning of life, and it helps us to understand why things happen. It helps us to understand how committed God is to us and how we can grow in Him. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And through God's Word, there are so many prophetic things mentioned from the Old Testament that point to the birth of Christ. And when Jesus came and died for us, He paid the penalty of our sins, and He gave us eternal life, because God doesn't want to see anybody go to hell. God wants no one to go to hell. That's how much He loves us. I want you to know this. Even in the worst times of our lives, do you realize that God loves us unconditionally through it? That's how great His love is. If He loves His children that much when we mess up, I want you to think about how much He loves the drug dealer. I want you to think about how much He loves the prostitute on the street corner. He loves the bank robber. He loves the ones that are in prison. He loves them with an unconditional love. He doesn't like their sin, but He sees their heart, and God sees the possibility. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. If Christ gave us life, then we need to give life back to others. And you know what? When we give love back to other people, it will make a difference in them. I saw that through all the stories I heard about Betty Braswell. And I included that in my message Friday. I told the crowd, the things that Betty and Harold Braswell did in their years of ministry, they touched lives in such a way that today, somewhere, I know somebody is thanking God that they came to their country, Honduras, and gave their heart and life and did all of this in the name of Jesus. Because it was because of their love and service that hearts were brought to Jesus in Honduras. And that people were not only fed food and they had clean water, because they were digging wells. I've got a lot of friends who went to Honduras, and I heard how they had clean water systems dug for them so they could have good clean water to drink, and they were given food, and they said there was so much joy. But you know what? When we give the Word of the Lord to people, it gives even more joy. What the food, the bread of life, when we feed on it, we will hunger no more spiritually. And when we drink from the water that Jesus gives us, we will thirst no more. And when we give it to others who are in a barren state, it will change their life as well. Now God, He is long-suffering. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." This is basically from my sermon last week about God waits. God is long-suffering. See, God doesn't sit up there twiddling His thumbs going, "Oh, I wonder if somebody's going to get saved today. I wonder if somebody's going to dedicate their life to me." God's not like that. I'm telling you what, God is awesome in power, and God sits there lovingly and very patiently waiting for people to come to know His Son as their Lord and Savior so He can change their life. God is not smacking people on top of the head saying, will you hurry up and get to the altar and get saved? You're killing me. God doesn't say that. God just extends his love and mercy toward each one of us, and God waits. God has a timeline. And when God's ready, when God moves upon us, when we finally realize we need Jesus or someone else needs Jesus, and that moment happens, it is one of the greatest rejoicing celebrations in heaven when a sinner comes to know Christ. And then all of eternity. Hebrews 9:27, ye are witnesses against yourselves. So are you saved? Are you living for Jesus today? Well, I want to say this morning. If you're not saved, there's an altar open here, and you can come to the altar and be saved. You can give your heart and life to the Lord, and you can get your name added to the Lamb's Book of Life, and you can live for Him, and your life will be forever changed. It's not going to be a bed of roses, and it's not going to be a slide downhill, I guarantee you that. There's going to be some rough bumps in the road, but He will never leave you, never forsake you. And if you're not living for the Lord, if you found yourself having gotten away from Him, I want to encourage you today to come forward and give your heart and all to Him. You've been saved, but maybe you're just not living right. You can just ask for forgiveness, and the Lord will forgive you of your sins, and He will make everything new.